Today's scripture reading comes from Acts 13, 1-4. Now in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch with Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." So after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. The two of them, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit, went down to Seleucia and sailed from there to Cyprus. This is the word of God.
This morning, we are very happy to have Dr. Gordon Smith with us. He's of no stranger to us. Actually, he was preaching here for some time, a few years back when Pastor Ivan was here. And also, he visited us occasionally. Dr. Smith, of course, is the president of our Ambrose University. And I'm sure you heard this name, Ambrose, in the last few months, because we lost our new Pastor Jay to the university. So Pastor Jay will be going to be seeing Dr. Smith very often now. So this morning we are very happy and honored to have Dr. Gordon Smith with us.
Pastor Norman. Well, good morning, friends, colleagues, sisters and brothers. Delighted to be with you. I don't know if I'm supposed to apologize that you lost your pastor to Ambrose, but I'm delighted that in the long term, that this is a development that I hope in the long run will at least serve the church. Delighted to be with you again. I have fond memories of being the interim preaching pastor for the English congregation here and at Fraserlands at the time that the two court congregations were still formally linked. And it was a rich chapter, an opportunity to bring the ministry of the word both here and there. And I'm grateful for that opportunity and for the opportunities that I have to come back. And I greet you on behalf of the faculty and the staff of Ambrose University, who are colleagues in ministry with us both here in Canada and, of course, globally. I want to invite you to think about the following question: what on earth is God doing? And then the follow-up question: what possible implications does that have for me or for you, for us individually? And what implications does that have for what it means to be the church, what it means to be a faith community like Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church? What does it mean to be the church in such a time as this? When we ask a question like that, there's a certain assumption that lies behind it. And that assumption is that there are new frontiers, there are new paradigms, there's new ways of thinking and seeing what God is up to, that it's not always the same from one decade or century to the next, that there are changes, there are developments, and that we need to lift up our eyes and look around and say, what on earth is God doing in our time? What is the Spirit up to in our time? And if we both individually and collectively are going to participate in what God is doing, then we step back and we ask, well, what is God up to? What is God doing? And in what ways are we being invited to participate in the work of God in this time and in this place? Part of the reason why I'm so intrigued by the text that was just read for us from Acts chapter 13 is that that is precisely what the church in Antioch had done. Up until then, when you thought about global Christian mission, the assumption was that everything was happening out of Jerusalem. Jerusalem was the epicenter of global mission, you might say. But here we find, the church in Antioch, about halfway through the book of Acts, the church in Antioch sees a new direction, a new vision, a new way in which the Spirit of God is at work. And they discerned in prayer and fasting that God was calling them to set aside Paul and Barnabas for the work to which the Spirit had called them. And if you notice verse 3 and 4 of that text, verse 3 says, having discerned what the Spirit was saying, they sent Paul and Barnabas off, and what they did was go to preach the gospel to Gentiles, and verse 4, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Which was it? Verse 3, sent on their way by the church. Verse 4, sent on their way by the Holy Spirit. Well, it's a false question, of course. It was both and. But what is exciting for me was to watch the church in Antioch participating in what God was doing in their time and in their circumstances. And what was revolutionary about that was they saw something that the church in Jerusalem did not see. They saw that God was calling them to take the gospel to Gentiles. And frankly, all of us probably in this room, probably very few, if any, are of Jewish descent, certainly not myself. And thus, I'm deeply grateful to the Antiochian church to have this vision to take the gospel beyond Jewish communities to Gentile communities from which most, if not all of us, are heirs. And yet, however significant what happened in Antioch was, by the end of the book of Acts, many chapters later, it is clear that the shift of mission is happening yet again. At the beginning of the book of Acts, it's Jerusalem. By chapter 13, 14, and 15, it's Antioch. But by the end of the gospel of the book of Acts, Paul, you hear indications of this along the way, but where does the book of Acts end? It ends in Rome. That is, by the end of the book of Acts, Rome becomes the new center, you might say, of global mission. And from then on, literally for the next millennium, the vast majority of missionaries that were sent globally were being sent from Rome. And I, obviously you can tell from my surname, I'm of British descent. I'm grateful to the leaders of the church in Rome who sent missionaries to what is now the United Kingdom, Great Britain. I'm heirs to them. But in actual fact, those missionaries went to all around Europe, and they were also going globally. The first missionaries to Asia came from Rome. By the 17th and 18th century, though, another shift happened away from Rome to what you might speak of as the Iberian Peninsula, or today, Portugal and Spain. And in the 17th and 18th century, the vast majority of missionaries globally, Latin America, Africa, and Asia, where were they coming from? Portugal and Spain. In the 19th century, another shift happens. When you think of who are the missionary heroes from the 19th century, where did they come from? The vast majority, whether it's the David Livingstons or the Hudson Taylors to China or the David Livingstons to Africa, where were they coming from? They were coming from Great Britain. The vast majority of missionaries and missionary heroes in the 19th century came from Great Britain. In the 20th century, another shift happened. And by the end of the 20th century, the vast majority of missionaries globally came from the United States and Canada. My parents went as missionaries in 1953-54 to Ecuador, to South America. That's where I grew up. They were part of this great movement. And the Christian and Missionary Alliance, our denomination, was really very much part of that 20th century movement of missions going from North America to the world. And my wife and I, we went as Alliance missionaries to the Philippines in the 1980s. By the time we left and came back to Canada in the 1990s, though, my wife Joelle and I were recognizing something else is shifting. That is, however much Canada and the U.S. had been the epicenter of global mission, that was changing. And I began to kind of step back and say, what's emerging? And I've been in conversations, as I'm sure some of you, if not many of you, have been as well, over the last number of years to say, so what does global Christian mission look like now in the 20th century? What is the spirit up to now? If we can look back and see Jerusalem and Antioch and Rome and the Iberian Peninsula and Britain and so on, if we can see that, is there a sense in which now there's a new frontier, a new movement of the Spirit that we need to discern and then respond to, both individually and collectively? Here's my reflection, at least, after many conversations on what I think the Spirit is up to. You may see it differently than I do, but at least what I want to do in these remarks is encourage you to ask the question, what on earth is the Spirit doing, and what is the implications of it for me, and you individually, you and me, and what implications does it have for the church? I'm going to identify three, what I see to be at least, significant movements of the Spirit that I urge you to be attentive to. One is that epicenter that I just described, from Antioch to Rome to the Iberian Peninsula to Great Britain to the United States and Canada, it's shifting yet again. Many years ago, about 10 years ago, I was in Cambodia on a ministry trip. And during the course of the day, I was meeting people who were coming as pioneer evangelists and educators from other countries. The majority of the people that I met on that day were from Korea. And it was for me this little moment of, oh, the epicenter of global mission has shifted. And if you step back now and ask, where did the vast majority of missionaries come from now? They're not coming from North America. They're coming from China. They're coming from Korea. They're coming from Brazil, from India. These are the four major missionary sending agencies of our day. That is, could it be that the epicenter is now shifting to what is typically referred to as the global south? And then you step back and you say, well, then what implications does that have for the church in Canada? Rather than saying, well, are we no longer major players on the global scene? Can we instead ask the question, in what ways are we being called to participate in what God is actually doing? It was delightful for me a couple of years ago to hear Michelle and Murray Dirksen, who at that time were the regional directors for the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Latin America. And they were telling the story of having been in conversation with the leaders of the church in Chile, and how the leaders of the church in Chile were saying that they were uniquely positioned to be part of what God was doing in Venezuela. And as I listened, I realized what they're doing in Venezuela, the Canadian church can't do, and we're not called to do. Rather, our role is going to be to support and encourage them in the work that they're doing. That is, it may well be that we may not be on the front lines anymore of what you might think of as pioneer evangelism or church planting, but rather we're supporting others who might be uniquely positioned to do that work, because now missions is emerging, not just from Canada and the US, like missions is emerging from places like Chile, Argentina, Brazil, Korea, China. And then our role then on the global scene is to step back and say, so what role do we have? What is the way in which we're going to participate in what God is doing if this epicenter has now shifted? A second significant change, and it's one that actually I think about literally daily in my day job at Ambrose University, and that is that historically we've always thought about missions as missionaries who do evangelism and church planting, and that people who do evangelism and church planting, they're doing Christian mission. But what is emerging is the realization that God is calling people into business, into education, and into the arts. And they are not just supporting Christian missions, they're actually active participants in the kingdom purposes of God, both locally and globally. That is, God is raising up people, for example, in business, who as business leaders are not merely, as my father would have assumed, hopefully making a lot of money to support the church and to support missions. We still hope they do that, but just a sidebar. But anyways, main point is to say, no, their actual work is kingdom work. That is, to use the phrase that has been used, business as mission, the realization is that God is calling people into business, not merely to support Christian mission, but actually to be kingdom agents, participants, colleagues, partners in the work that God is doing, both locally and globally. And this is reflected in what has happened at Ambrose University. Ambrose University, a generation ago, was training women and men for ministry both in North America and around the world. In fact, it used to be that the mission statement was to train workers for the worldwide work of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. But the big shift that happened 10, 15, 20 years ago is to develop a liberal arts university so that, yeah, we still have a theological seminary, and we teach in both Mandarin and in English, and we provide a Master's of Arts in Theological Studies or an MDiv for people who are being equipped to provide pastoral ministry both in the church and to provide international ministry for the sake of the kingdom through word and witness. Yes, we still are doing that, and it's a vital part of the ministry of Ambrose University. But down the hall, there's a school of business. Down the hall, across the way in the next building, is a school of education. Around the corner is the biology department. And then on the other side of the building is the behavioral science department. And then we have the music and fine arts department, theater and dance and music. And whoa, this is what we're doing. And it's the realization that God is calling people, yes, into religious work and ministry in the through the seminary, but God is equally, and I cannot stress this point strongly enough, equally, it's not that this is a lesser calling. God is calling people into business, education. I think about our education program, where teachers from that program may well be the only Christian in a public school somewhere here in Canada. And they are equally called to any missionary who's called to the farthest reaches of the world. I'm just pausing there, hoping to get an amen. I didn't get one, but I'll press on. You don't do amens, I guess, at VCAC. Okay, I can live with that. But you know, with masks and everything, I'm wondering, are you out there? Hello, is there a pulse? An amen would help. Where was I? Oh yes, education program. Students called to our biology program who expect to go on in medicine or in kinesiology. Are they as called as those in the seminary? You bet they are. Students in our behavioral science program with a deep passion for the undersector of our society, eager to serve in social work, to make a difference for God, for those who are struggling in the undercurrents of our society. And then, as I mentioned, our business program. And when Mark Jones, our regional director for Southeast Asia, visits our campus, we kind of jokingly say, Mark, when you get down to the end of the hall, are you going to turn right to the ministry department or are you going to turn left to the business school? And he says it's both and. Because what's emerging for the Christian and Missionary Alliance in Asia is women and men called into the traditional missionary role of pioneer evangelism, evangelism and church planting. But they're colleagues together, and I can't stress that point enough, they're colleagues together with those called into business, whether they're serving in business locally or globally, and doing so, participating in the kingdom purposes of God. Wow, what does that mean? What implications does that have? What does it mean for the way in which we get excited and nurture the calling of God upon an emerging generation of leaders? And then thirdly, one of the things that cannot be avoided is the fundamental change in the character of Canadian society. When I was a seminary student back in the 1970s, I know that shocks you because you didn't even know there was such a thing as a theological seminary in the 1970s. It was just assumed that Canada was a Christian nation, that this was basically a Christian nation and we were going to take the gospel to the world. What has changed fundamentally in a generation is that the world has come to Canada. One of the things that I like to do is kind of a spiritual practice, you might say, is to drive down number 5 road in Richmond. Do you know number 5 road in Richmond? What some people think of as the road to heaven, some people think of it as religion road, but whatever it is you want to call it, it's just really something to drive down number 5 road and you drive by a Hindu temple, a Buddhist temple, a Sikh temple, a Muslim mosque, and a whole string of churches of a whole variety of sorts. And you think, wow, this is the future of Canada. This is the future of Canada. When I was growing up, I didn't even know where there was a mosque in Canada. When I was a seminary student, I didn't know. I presume there was a mosque somewhere in Canada, but I didn't know where there was a mosque. But if you come to Ambrose University and Seminary, and you get on the light rail transit in downtown Calgary, and you take that train out to our campus, the last building you see before you get off the train at Ambrose University is a mosque. In other words, every one of our students knows where there's a mosque. Canada has changed and changed fundamentally. And rather than saying we're going to send missionaries to the farthest regions of the world, you know, we used to sing when I was a young person, to the regions beyond we must go, I want to say the regions have come here. They're just down the street. And that means fundamentally that rather than just thinking, let's just use Islam and Muslims for a moment, that we're going to reach them for the gospel, we're going to send people to the farthest regions of the world, they're your neighbors. They are just down the street. And when I say that number 5 road is the future of Canada, I'm curious. When I say that, do you think of that as a problem? The nations are coming to Canada and all these religions? Or is it an opportunity? And obviously you know where I'm going. It's an opportunity. It's a breathtaking opportunity. And therefore we need to ask, yes, of course, we still participate in global mission in much the same way we did in the past, but it's more than just that. It's not merely praying for missionaries who are going to the farthest regions. We are still sending and equipping and participating in what God is doing, even if the epicenter has shifted to the global south. We are still raising up women and men who are going to be involved in the proclamation of the gospel and evangelism and church planting, but they're going to do it now in partnership with those called into medicine, into business, into social work, into education, into the arts. And also, we are still going to be empowering and equipping people who go to different regions of the world. But we're not going to then cross our arms and say, good, they're doing it, now we can get back to normal. The new normal has changed. We live now in a religiously plural society where now we encounter women and men of a wide variety of religious backgrounds and settings and dispositions, and they're our neighbors. They're our colleagues at the office. And we need to then be asking the question, what then does it mean? What implications does this have for me personally, that maybe indeed you are called into business or into education or medicine or the arts. And rather than somehow, and I can't stress this point enough, thinking, well, it's not quite the highest calling, but it's what my parents want me to do or something like that. It's not the ultimate calling, the really sacred missionary calling. And I want to say no and never. God is now calling people into every sphere and sector of society, and their impact is not merely local here in Vancouver, it's global, And some of them, of course, will engage local agencies and ways of being, but many will be called internationally to serve as doctors, as business people, partnering with those called into traditional ministries. For what purpose? To witness to the inbreaking of the reign of God. That is, you need to think about it personally. Where, in what ways is God calling me? And then I want to just say, delight, you might say, in the ways in which everything that I've been saying over the last few minutes might impact Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church. What does it mean to be this congregation in this time and in this place? And it means then, unapologetically, you just say, you step back and you say, to quote Bob Dylan, do you know who Bob Dylan is? The times they are a-changing. What a great line. The times they have changed. And therefore, our thinking, our perspective, our response as a congregation is to recognize that if the times they are a-changing, let's step back and do as the church in Antioch did, to pray, to fast, to ask the question, what is the Spirit up to? And then see the diverse ways in which the Spirit will call and empower and equip us for the work to which we're called in this time. For each one of you, I pray God's richest blessing upon you. And for you, Vancouver Chinese Alliance Church, may God bless and encourage you in the ministry to which you are called in this time and in this place, in this extraordinary city. God bless you, each one. Finally, I got an amen.